Our scripture reading this morning is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Roman congregation, the 8th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself will also be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves, groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. If you look closely at the back of a U.S. dollar bill, you'll see a lot of symbols. One of them is the shape of a pyramid. It's an American symbol that has been used for hundreds of years. And the intent of that design and of that little pyramid on our dollar bill is to show substance and that hopefully we have established a lasting society, just like the pyramids that have lasted so long. A new American order for the ages is what the expressions on there say underneath that pyramid. Ironically, even the pyramids, the great examples of lasting architectural design, they are also deteriorating. And every year, the country of Egypt commits millions of dollars, many of them even our own U.S. dollars with that symbol on it, to preserving those pyramids. That demonstrates something to us that St. Paul is talking about in our text. Because of the consequences of the fall into sin on this world and on our planet, even the things of this world that we might consider to be the most long-lasting and durable and enduring, even they are subject to decay. St. Paul says, creation groans because of this. Creation groans because of the fact that there's just death and decay and everything is ultimately getting worse. And Paul is right. You can hear it. You can see it. Listen to the moans of the cattle or of the pigs when they're brought to the slaughterhouse. Listening to the crackling of the tree branches as they are consumed by fires. Listen to the rumbling thunder and the lightning crashes as it goes across the prairie. You can see it. Watch for the thousands of dead trees rotting in our Minnesota River. Watch the mosquito twitch on your arm after you smack it dead. Watch for all the dead deer lining the highways between here and St. Peter. Everything in this world and everything about this world, as Paul says, is in bondage to decay. It's chained to death. It's chained to erosion. And it just can't get out of it. It's trapped in a prison cell of futility. And even an atheist who teaches the laws of thermodynamics must acknowledge the truth that St. Paul is addressing for us. And all of this goes back to one simple statement from the mouth of God speaking to Adam following the fall into sin. Cursed is the ground for your sake. Cursed is the ground for your sake. And so the simple truth is this. Anything and everything in this world will ultimately end up in dust, ashes, or rust, including our bodies. And just like an elderly cancer patient who is waiting to die someday, hoping for the suffering to come to an end, our planet feels that way. The earth itself groans, waiting for that final day. And so, in these words of Paul, is a warning to us, especially in our youth, but to all of us, to live your life as if something in this fallen world is going to change, and somehow last forever and give you lasting happiness and satisfaction in life, you're living in a delusion. Everything that that dollar bill can possess is just as bound to corruption as the bill itself that lasts about 2 years in our currency system. Even the very planet that we live on, as old as it is, and as substantive as it seems to be, teaches us the lesson that everything is going to be gone. Listen to the deers and the trees and the mosquitoes. They know what they're talking about. The consequence of this fall is not only on the planet, but also upon us. Even as Christians, we have to struggle with this reality. St. Paul says, even we ourselves groan within ourselves. Those are interesting words. It's not audible groans. Maybe once in a while it's that too. Oh, man. But it's an internal, unexpressed groan. Every time things just don't work out the way we want, every time that relationship comes to an end that we thought was really going to be it, every time that we receive some news of disappointment, every time we find out that we're sick with something, every time we have to bury a loved one, every time we look ahead to our own grave someday, we groan inside, quietly, internally. This is not what I want. This is not the way life should be. Paul refers to the sufferings of this present life. This is a given and a reality even for Christians. Christianity doesn't try to eliminate suffering for Christians in this world, but rather teach us how to deal with it according to the grace of God and the promise of everlasting life in heaven. The final day, when this world will come to an end, is described for us in Scripture as, of all things, a day of redemption. Now that's a positive word. Not a day of destruction for believers, but a day of redemption. Paul alludes to that in our text as well, waiting for the redemption of the children of God. A day of redemption reminds us of what our Lord has come into this world to do, to redeem us, to buy us back to God. And not only just to buy us back to God, but to buy us back to the Eden that we were originally created to live in. To again give us the very paradise that God intended for humanity. And that's all been purchased for us through the blood of Christ. It's been put down on deposit, guaranteeing that when that day finally comes, this is what we get. This is what we will receive. This beautiful home of heaven that is a return to the first home of our parents. I love this beautiful line in our text that says, all of the suffering we have to go through and all of this groaning is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. That's just a great line. Just take that one in today, stick it down into your heart, and hang on to it. All the garbage you have to deal with in this life, it's not worthy to be compared with the glory that will be revealed in us. And when God talks about glory, it's not like glory we think of here in this world. The glory that will be revealed in us. We receive little miniature lessons in our lives every time we have to go through a temporary difficulty in order to have something else better for us in life. Even going through the struggle of classes can be like that. But every time that happens, it's a tiny little picture of this great, enormous picture our Lord is giving us in our text. The suffering we have to endure in this world, even the suffering we have to go through because we're Christians, is not worth compared to the glory that's waiting for us. It will all be worthwhile. He refers to the glorious liberty of the children of God, freedom from everything that troubles us and binds us in this world. You know, every Christian, I'm sure, thinks to himself or herself, what is heaven going to be like? Will it be like this? Will it be like that? There's an old professor years ago in the 1800s who said, there is no like that man can use when you're thinking about heaven. That's a great thought. There is no like in this world that we can use. So if you want something to live for, or if you want someone to live for those things and that one who is alive, who alone is alive and can give you that life. Amen.